the word says in Ephesians chapter 4, speaking the truth in love so that people will grow. I'm going to share with you what happened to me in my life. I have Bible verses and ideas that I want to share with you. And Pastor Jeremy, if you would put the first verse up, which I believe is 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18 in the King James language, if you got it in the King James. But now, Millie, would you pray? Pray, sweetheart.
Father, we just thank you for this day and for this service, Father. And as we receive your words, Father, let them be planted in our spirits, Father, and put into practice. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The word says this, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. I got saved in 1971. Drugs, alcohol, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, schizophrenia, demonism, being demonized, suicidal, and I began the journey. I'm going to share my journey with you immediately, and this is a message entitled Connected, okay? I am connected. I've been connected with the Lord for many, many years. And as I always say, when I say that, is, look, I did some of my meanest, best sinning after I got saved. Because I was only 19 years old when I got saved. Is that right? Yeah, because I got married at 22. Help me if I get anything wrong. Now, nobody had to tell me, force me, but I experienced this here. God had a church for me to be at. I experienced that. And I began to go to church. And I would go back in my bedroom and I would read. Reminds me of the Beach Boys song, In My Room. I was there for months and months and months. And I read my Bible till my Bible began to read me and where I was and what I was doing. And nobody had to tell me to go to church. Why? Because I became connected to the Lord. And you know what? I want each and every one of you to know that God loves you very, very much, and that you're special, and that God isn't mad at anybody. But the ministry's labor is to teach you the word, and I would like to teach you the word tonight on what it means to be connected, what the benefits are of being in the church that God puts you in, and the benefits of being faithful to that church and its programs. You were saved, of course, to serve. I started dating my wife. I had come out of her mom and dad said, look, we lived right next door to each other, like the Montagues and the Capulets. And she said, whatever you do, for God's sake, don't ever go out with that guy next door. Well, through a series of events, I became in debt to Millie. She helped me save my sister's life. My sister was Heidi. She was 9 months old. She had died. My parents were gone. And I stood there in unbelief, in shock, blue, and then no breath. Now, I haven't made my living out of lying for the last many years. Those of you that saw me a few weeks ago, my doctor, the best neurosurgeon in Arkansas, cannot tell you why I had such a speedy recovery, and they had to let me go. I fought for them to let me go. I didn't need any more there, and they agreed. They'd never seen anything quite. The nurses said, "Wait, why are you so strong?" Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm strong because of Jesus. And I'm strong because he offered me a program, And instead of being snooty and snippy and, oh, I don't need that, and I'll just come when I feel like, you know what? I gave myself to becoming a man of God. And I had to leave friends that I loved. And then there were some of them I didn't want them to leave, but they left me because there was a change in my life. Would you say, those of you that were here, that there's a change in me? Since I, yes. Now, that's not an accident. That's a benefit of being saved and connected. Is Brent and Nicole not going to be in the service? Oh, bless her heart. Brent, if you can hear me, I'm going to need you in a few minutes. I can talk about people in this room. There's the McFarlands. They're connected. They've been connected for 30-something years. I've been saved going on 51 years now. And other, Larry Baker was once my pastor, and I was his pastor. You know, Larry Baker is a pastor. It's not an announcement by some group. I heard of something pretty terrible. A religious organization, I won't mention their name, but this is what you don't want to get involved with. Pastor and his wife got COVID. She died. They just told him, we don't need you anymore, and just sent him on his way. Now, that's just not the way that Christians behave. But I began to date Millie, and the Lord told me with my little sister Heidi, laying on the floor between the kitchen and the front room, he said, you put your hands on her, and you call her back to life. And that's exactly what happened. Well, how did that happen? If you can explain a miracle, it is not a miracle. My doctors, it wasn't one. It was a team. By the way, they gave me the best treatment from the nurses, the food, the care. I felt like everybody loved me, but they had not ever, they don't usually see what happened to me. And it was a miracle. I'm a walking miracle, but I'm connected. And I'm talking tonight about church attendance, getting involved with your program. And nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. Peter said, as newborn babes earnestly desire the sincere or the first of the milk, of the mother's milk, of the Word of God. And I had an attraction, and I developed a hunger for the Word of God. Now, let me read another verse. Pastor Jeremy, if you'd put up that second verse, which I believe is Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, or what he did all the time, or his habit, or his usual behavior, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. See if we can get Brenda to come out here if we can. Now, I began to date Millie. I was a smart aleck young man. She helped me because when I prayed for my sister, she came back to life immediately. Millie lived next door. She came running over because the ambulance had come. And Millie's mother said, you go with Angie. You go and take that little baby to the hospital. Just be where you can hear me, because I want to, this is a person that's connected. How long? Her mother right there came right up here when she was pregnant. You're 30. And I prayed for her. This child was raised in church. Now she went on to have her wild, whatever you would call it, sowing wild oats. She, and I'm not going to embarrass you, Brenda, but come sit a little close over here by Nana. Before I get too far, go ahead. I started dating Millie. Millie was not a churchgoer. Millie was not in church, but she was a straight-A student. She was a goody-goody two-shoes. Under normal circumstances, this wild and crazy guy would never go out with anybody like that. But I began to date her. And I said, the way we're going to date is we're going to go to my church. Would you do that? And she said, yes, I would. Who wouldn't? And let me just say this here. One day, in a morning service, Jesus got all over Millie, just like Jesus got over JJ a couple of weeks ago, and JJ got saved, and God began to knock at Millie's heart's door, and before she left that service, she was saved. She's been saved ever since. Have either one of us been perfect? No, but you know, don't be too hard. Neither have you. Amen? The perfect one is Jesus Christ. And so we went on, and I did not date her for very long before the Lord. See, we've talked about this. You want to hear from God? Put him first in your life. You want to be direction from God? Put God first in your life. Don't go when you feel like it or when it's convenient. Go because you're a child of God and you want to be connected. Everybody say connected. That means when something happens to you, God hears, God does, God helps you. As you can see, it doesn't make you bulletproof. For a few weeks ago, after about a 6-8 month sickness that came on me so subtly, I didn't realize it, I became very sick in a hurry, and on a Wednesday night, I couldn't recall scripture. They had to drag me out of here. I was dragging my left leg. I couldn't go up and down the stage. Dear God, I hope I don't fall. But I couldn't do this. I've been doing this in this building since 1991 when we purchased this building. But I was connected. I sinned. I hurt people. I had family problems, had problems with my daughters, but I was connected. And I value my walk with Christ and my sonship more than anything else. And I'm not afraid to say that. And I've loved with my wife. I've stayed with her. It hasn't been easy. We had some rough times. We've had some good times. We've just come into the best times that we've ever had. It's wonderful with her. And it was Jesus' habit to go to church. It was his habit. Now, if you would please put up Luke chapter 24, verse 52 and 53. You've already got it. Thank you, son. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in church, praising and blessing God. It's one thing when you go to church and you're blessed. Oh, I've had a great blessing. It's another thing when you go to church and realize that according to the book of Revelation chapter 4, you and I were created, mankind was created to bring God pleasure, to please God. And I look at that every day. I say this because repetition is the best way to teach. Every morning, Millie and I did it this morning. We said, Lord God, into your hands we commit our spirit. One of the last seven sayings that Christ made from the cross before he left this. See, I recommit. I make it clear to every demon in hell and every angel in heaven and on earth where I stand every day. And they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, we will cover that tonight, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto the death. And what that is every day I say, not my will, but your will be done. And I try to live it, and I fail, and he helps me, and he loves me anyway. This child, I've seen her fail and get hurt quite recently. She's lost a baby. And I called Nicole. And make sure she can get a hold of that in just a second. because Daniela and her husband Ryan were just here in the summer. You may remember them. Was pregnant at the same time. They were both nursing students, about the same age. She just found out that she lost her baby. And I called on Nicole, and I said, Nicole, could you talk to Daniela? I said, I just feel like you could help her. I've watched this young person through thick and thick from when she was a baby. Carried her in, see, because her mother, once again, not a perfect person, but a connected person. A person, you know if you're connected. You don't know on your sunny days. You know, look here, if he's not your God on the worst day of your life, you're not fooling me. Don't fool yourself. He's not your God. See, you're either connected. If he's not there, and you're counting on him through whatever, and that's what Michael and Brenda did. Say a quick word, Brenda, about what just some of the things just happened here. Say about talking with Daniela. Is that thing on?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, it is, yeah. It is. Speak loud enough where they can hear you, sweetie.
I just talked to Daniela, and I told her what I felt like. What God was telling me was every time I cried, every time I was too sad, I got on my phone or I opened the Bible and I wanted to know where to go about grieving. And I know it. I know it. The world that we live in tries to make that not a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's such a big deal. My baby had
to everything. There is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Mm-hmm. There's a time to rejoice and there's a time to grieve.
Yes. That's what me and Mike read in Ecclesiastes 2, where it says all of that. There's a time for every purpose under the sun. There's nothing new. And so I just witnessed to her what I had taken in myself over the time that I was so, so sad. And I know that it's terrible, but I know that I'm going to come out okay. And
here's when I knew I hit the jackpot, Nicole, when you told me, Brother Angela, I looked up every Bible verse on grieving.
I did.
And you said this here. I'm taking this very personal, the loss of a baby. And she was able to minister life and help my niece in Illinois go through that. And right after that, she had that procedure where they had to take her baby. And Nicole and Daniela have been conversing. And did she enjoy that?
I think she did. I think it's so easy to get in your head and think, like, I'm the only one who's feeling this way. And so I got to let her know, like, I understand. Like, I get it. I feel the same way. And it's real and it's painful. And I think that was probably really important to be able to relate to somebody else.
When you were strung out on drugs, Sam reminds me of this all the time. He said, Pastor, don't you remember? She would look us up. She had tithe money. And she'd give tithes. You don't remember that?
No, I do remember.
Yeah.
Even when I was terrible, like, this was, Jesus was always there. You were always there. I would always bump into her. Like, I was never not here, even in the craziest moments of my life. And now I can look back and, like, I don't even know who that person was, but I know God always had me right here.
Just because you're strung out on drugs doesn't mean God's going to leave you.
No.
That's not the way it works. That's not a truth. And Brent and Nicole, Sam and I took her 5 years ago. What month was it?
September 26th.
The 26th. We took her to Fort Smith to Gateway, correct? Now, I'm talking about being connected because this girl stayed connected. What her mother started in her, she continues even to this day. And I am not a big drug expert. Brother Larry could tell you many more times. But in my little world, I'd never seen anybody that strung out, tremoring. And we got her to the gateway. And I just said, Brother, thank God. And we got a call right there. They said, look, you can't leave her here. She's close to death. She's going to need some kind of, whatever they did to you there, she's going to need that. Now, I can talk about other people similarly. Keisha is a new person, but she is connected. She's trying to be connected. Yes, and it's beautiful because the promises are to the connected. God doesn't want to date you. God wants your life. That's just the truth of it. Everybody that tries to save their life will lose it. And everybody that gives me their life, they will find it. The word is find it. And if I had to describe what happened to me, I found my life as a young fella. I stopped listening to the music that I used to rock out and play myself. And just many things changed, but I wasn't perfect then, and I'm still not perfect. We have to. That's why we have communion. That's what communion is all about. Pastor Jay, give me my next verse, which is it the one in Hebrews? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking. See, you can do things in a marriage where you breach a marriage contract, where you forsake it, and there's grounds for divorce. That's the kind of terminology in the Greek that this word is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as is the manner of some. The Bible speaks of the falling away that we're seeing right now. Johnny Cash had a song in about 1971 when I was saved, and some of the lyrics were this. Matthew 24 is knocking at your door. Matthew 24 has to do with the end of the world as Jesus described it. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you would say in the last few years it's beginning to look a lot like things is winding down? That the end of the world that's been spoken of is upon us, is coming. This is a time, and you know what? If you feel offended, if you just say, I don't need to listen to this, well, that's not going to help you. Because a few Wednesday nights before, when Melissa Helton's whole world fell apart and her house burned to the ground, her family got closer to God, true or false? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, if you've got any brains, like I tried to jargon it out in the book of Ecclesiastes, remember the Lord in your youth, or remember the Lord now. Because see, if you forget the Lord, that's not a good thing. And many will say, Lord, I did this, I did that. On judgment day, he said, you know what? I never knew you. God wants to know you. And when he'll come with all kinds of blessings in his hands, won't he, Mary? I remember Mary, I talked about it at the door. We have never been broke. This church has never been broke. This church started on my unemployment check because I quit my job and Millie's check. And it's worth upwards of $1 million today in all of our assets. What can one person do? What can you do if you just, for goodness sakes, get connected or stay connected to God? Keisha, I'm so proud of you. And remember, you are saved to serve because each and every one of you has a gift. You have more than one gift. You have a talent. This young lady here, she just started coming and helping, serving. And we let people. I don't know if anybody even ever invited you to church, Jen, did they? I think you just started coming. Yeah. Do you like it here? Isn't it wonderful? Are you connected? Or are you playing games with God in your life? And when you need something, then you're there. But here's what Mary said. We had some hard times. This was many, many years ago. She said, Brother Angelo bought us a bunch of groceries. And do you remember saying this? You could probably finish the same. It wasn't the Always Save brand. It was the good stuff. Yes. We as a church are trying to do everything that we can to bless you, because this is a house of blessing. This word and this minister that stands before you is blessed. But I'm not bulletproof. None of us are. Terrible things happen to people. If they're not led by the Lord, you can die before your time. So as we go on with these thoughts, there's Nicole. When they told me that, I said, look, Sam, how much worse can this get? And we had to go get her. Is that right? And take you to Van Buren to the hospital. And I had just bought you $60-something worth of cigarettes, a carton. You know, don't expect us to be like everybody else, for God's sake. I run with all the people that Jesus would run with. And I'm proud to do it. Anybody that thinks they're better are really in trouble. I said, Sam, how bad is this going to get? But she got in there. How long were you in the hospital? 2 days? For 2 days. They put you a bunch of IVs in. They got you straightened around. Larry's seen far worse. People that die every day. You know what? If you like your former addictions, I can understand that. I just know what's good for me and what's not good for me. Sweetie, at this time, do you want to say a quick word before I finish?
Well.
Why don't you speak in that microphone, please, sweetheart?
I have that one quote that reminds me.
Could you please pick up that? I'll hold the microphone for you.
Well, let me see if I can find it.
She picked this out. My wife is an avid word person, as I am, as Brendan Nicole is, as others in this room are. Listen to this. She read this to me this morning.
This is by Robert Browning Hamilton, and it reminds me of the girls when I read it, both Brenda and Danielle. He said this, I walked a mile with pleasure, and she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she. But oh, the things I learned from sorrow when sorrow walked with me.
Amen. Look here. In this world, John 16:33, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what Christ said. You know what that means? Whatever you're going through, child of God, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make it easier. I'm going to show you the way out of the wilderness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Church, this is a word about being connected. And one of the first things, and if this has insulted or bothered you in any way, you know you got trouble. I'm going to tell you right from this pulpit you do. But if this word pierced your heart and touched your heart, I dare you to take your children and raise them in church. Now, her mama sitting back there heard me say that for many minutes, for 30 years with her. Depart from me. I never knew you. Man, I don't want them saying that to me. That's why I know I did a study on communion before I got what I teach here. Some great people, Brother Hagin's best friend. came to this church, preached at this church. She said, Angelo, you need to go to a big city and preach it. I said, Lee Eller, I love you, my dear brother. He's old enough to be my dad. He's passed away. I said, but I think I'm just gonna stick around where I'm at. And I'm so blessed. And we all go through the fire. He said, I'll be with you in the fire. We all almost get drowned by the waters. He said, I'm not going to let you drown. He said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to love you. And I make no apologies. Speaking the truth in love, Ephesians chapter 4, that they may grow thereby. And people, I've stood before thousands of people, and you're either going to grow or you're not. You don't have any chance of growth if you're not giving the word. It's got to be speaking the word in love. And if you know me, I hope nobody feels anything but love, because that's what God meant for you to feel. Think about it. We're about to take communion. Sweetheart, would you like to say anything else? Okay. Nicole, would you like to say anything else? By the way, Nicole just got a brand new car with 4 miles on it. It's got a few more. She drove it to church. She opened that door. I could smell that very familiar smell. It's called new. How many cars, new cars, is dead? I don't know how many. All paid for. One after the other, after the other. Anything I wanted to drive. That almost sounds awful. But I'm going to tell you something. I can remember when I bought a 1956 Volkswagen, and I told my pastor in Modesto, California, I said, Pastor Mike, I said, I'm in the center of God's will for my transportation. And he laughed at that, and I let him laugh. I let him think whatever he wanted to. I'm asking you to consider this word. I think Pastor Jeremy will have this thing downloaded this evening, and there's going to be people you can just put it out there. How many of you know people that you just wish would just come to church with you that haven't come so far? You know what we're going to do? We're going to do the best we can. When we meet your people, we're going to love them. Now we're in a communion service. Communion is to a Christian what an oil change and service is to a car. We need it to keep things flowing the right way. We start out, as the Bible says, examine your heart and then take communion. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar, or I'm going to ask you to make an altar where you are. You may not be able to get on your knees. I'm going to take that into and this communion is open to everybody in here, yet you do not.